Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see you. We're turning to a new text in this, our last assembly for this term. Well, we're off on a wee holiday now after today, and we're turning to John chapter 6, and we're going to look at the verse 67. John chapter 6, the verse 67. There's a question there. And we'll be considering, of course, also the answer to that question that's given by Peter on behalf of all the other apostles in the next verse. But verse 67 is our text. I'd like to read from verse 59, if you turn back to that verse. These things said he in the synagogue. Now, these things are very important, and I had a struggle not to include much more of the chapter in my reading, so that you might understand just what it was the Savior said. But basically he was setting before the people the truth that he alone was the Savior, and that there had to be, on the part of a sinner, a partaking of his blood and his flesh. That is, a spiritual partaking. An eating of Christ, the way you eat bread and meat, to supply life to your body. So, you have to eat Christ, the bread of life, in order to have life spiritually and eternally. So these are the things he was teaching, and these are the things that are at the very center of what happened. And we'll read that from verse 59. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Now, just quickly, let me say that that's an explanation for what he meant by saying, "You've got to eat my body and drink my blood." He says, "I'm not speaking in physical terms. I'm speaking in spiritual terms." In other words, spiritually, you have to partake of me. We read on. "But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him." The Lord knows everything, boys and girls. He knew from the beginning. "And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. You just think of that. Think of every word in that verse. From that time, from his saying of these words, verse 66, many of them did this, and they went back, and they walked no more. That was it. They turned their back on the Lord. "Then said Jesus unto the 12, you know who they were, Peter, James, John, etc., etc., "Will ye also go away?" You see, boys and girls, it's possible in a day when the crowd is departing and the crowd is turning their back on the Lord, it's possible even for God's people to get caught up in that and act foolishly and sinfully and turn their back on the Lord. "Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we," he's speaking on behalf of them all as he often did, "to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." So, the last question we're looking at, we're moving on to a new subject when we come back again together, but this is our last question, and it's the challenging question, "Will ye also go away?" It's a suitable text to end our studies together in this term. Boys and girls, if ever there was a day in which Christians should consider this question by the Lord, it is today. Will ye also go away? Because if we were to listen spiritually speaking, you could hear the footsteps of thousands in our little province going away, turning their back upon the Lord, turning their back on what was once believed. This day there is an Armagh meeting, and it's meant to mark the 100th anniversary of the founding of Northern Ireland, the beginning of our little country under the name Northern Ireland. But sadly, that service in Armagh will be a marking of Ulster's turning of its back upon all that it once believed. I know that. Everyone that's partaking in the leading and speaking in that service are those who reject the Bible. And yet, our fathers and mothers back 100 years ago took a decision, we're not going in with the rest of Ireland, but we're sticking with the United Kingdom because we believe that to go in with the rest of Ireland, the 26 counties that now make up the Irish Republic, if we go in with them, we're going in under the teaching, the unbelief, the rebellion that is taught by Roman Catholicism. Our forefathers had a slogan, Home Rule, which was what the political campaign to give independence to the whole of Ireland was called. Home Rule is Rome Rule. If we go in with them, we're going to be under the darkness of Rome. And that's what motivated and moved our forefathers. To a degree, they were ready to fight the British Army. Now, the British Army, back in 1912, when this controversy really arose, was a real army. It very possibly was the biggest, at least one of the biggest, armies in the world. It had hundreds of thousands of men. And yet our forefathers said, we don't care how many men you have, we're going to fight and resist being put in under the Roman Catholic Church and its teaching, as would be the case if we were to be pushed into a united Ireland. But today, in Armagh, the very opposite will be upheld and taught. This is a day of turning away from the Lord. So it's a suitable text for you and for me to look at today, not only because we're ending the term, but because of what is happening today. So let's quickly look at this. There are a number of things, and I'm going to have to be very, very quick. There are a number of things I want to state very clearly. First, we'll start with this, boys and girls. Going away from Christ is what sin produces. When sin is at work in the heart and the mind and the soul of an individual, you know it. Because if you look at the direction their life is taking, it's a going away from Christ. It's a turning of the back on Him. It's a turning of the eyes off Him. Genesis chapter 3. I'll not ask you to turn these up, but just listen to them. Genesis chapter 3 in the verse 8 says, this is Adam and Eve that's been spoken of, and they have just disobeyed God. They have eaten of the forbidden fruit. And it says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God. That's one of the titles of the Savior. He is the voice of the Lord God. He's the Word of God. Walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. What were they doing? They were going away. They were hiding. Why? Because sin had taken over, was guiding and ruling them. Then secondly, let me say that this turning away from the Lord has happened to the very best of men. That's why I want to press it upon you and upon myself today. This is something that can happen to the very best of men. Let me give you some examples. Abraham. Abraham was called the friend of God. He was a giant of holiness. And yet, he strayed from the Lord. He went away from the Lord. We read in Genesis chapter 12, the verse 10, and there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. In that time of trouble, famine, he didn't trust the Lord. He didn't stay in the land that God had brought him to, but instead he turned his back on the Lord and he went down into Egypt for help. Good men can turn their back on the Lord. Then what about David? David, is spoken of as a man after God's own heart. That's a most wonderful and honourable title for him to have. And yet, David forsook the Lord. Let me read to you a verse. It's found in 2 Samuel chapter 12. And it's the verse 7 and part of the verse 13. And Nathan, he was the prophet, said to David, "Thou art the man. You're the one that's done wrong." And David said unto Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." David had sinned terribly, sinned to such a degree that he brought judgment upon the land. Boys and girls, when we do wrong, we bring God's judgment on ourselves, but we bring it also upon our friends and family and our neighbours. Why our country is in the state it's in, because of sin. And what about Elijah? One of the mightiest of men. And yet, Elijah turned his back on the Lord for a time. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 3 says, "He arose and he went for his life. He was frightened and scared of Jezebel, the evil queen. But he didn't run to the Lord. He ran away into the desert to hide. He ran away from the Lord. Wonderfully, the Lord followed him and brought him back to faithfulness." There is but three examples of the fact that going away from the Lord can happen to the very best of people. It can happen to you. Let me say thirdly that it has happened in the very best of circumstances. It has happened when you wouldn't expect it to happen, in other words. Here we have, in John chapter 6, many disciples going away. And that was in a day when they had seen and heard what no other generation of people had heard. They had seen the Lord Jesus Christ himself, God manifest in the flesh. They had heard him speak and set forth the truth of God as no one had ever heard it set forth before. They had watched him work the mightiest of miracles. They were mightily, wonderfully, immeasurably privileged. And yet they went away. They went away. From that time, many of his disciples, we read in the verse 66, went back. They went back. Back to their sin, back to their disobedience, back to their defiance of God, back to darkness. They did that in a day of glorious privilege. But furthermore, even in the days of the apostles, when they wonderfully, not just within the limits of the little land of Israel, but spreading out among the Gentile nations, working wonderful miracles and preaching with the power of the Holy Ghost, there was a going away. Let me read to you the words of Paul, spoken to the elders of the greatest of the New Testament churches that we know about, the church at Ephesus. Now, we know it was a great church because of the caliber or the character of the epistle that Paul wrote to it. Now, you boys all know, and you girls as well, all know, that when the teacher is teaching primary one, she uses very simple terms, very simple words, very simple subject. But when she gets to the A-level class, well, she will deal with matters that far are above the primary level. Well, for that reason, we know that when Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he wasn't talking to primary level Christians. He was talking to advanced learners. And this church, well established, well advanced, Paul said to the elders, the leaders of it, these words, Acts chapter 20, the verse 29. It says, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." And he went on to say, "From your own selves there will arise corruptors." So even within the ranks of that great church, a departing, a turning back, no church is so favoured by God that it can escape the danger of disobeying the Lord and turning back. Jude, in his epistle, indicates that he had suddenly become very troubled with the fact that there was a great turning away within the ranks of God's people. Now, Jude was in the days of the apostles, in the days of revival blessing, unparalleled in the history of God's people. And he wrote this in Jude, the little epistle, the verse 4. "For there are certain men crept in unawares, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." So that was what was found in the ranks of God's people, those who were denying the Lord Jesus. And they were accepted. They weren't hunted out. They were listened to. And others were joining them and turning away from the Lord and going back. The reason I know they were accepted is that Jude had to write this letter warning the people of what was happening. You see what I'm saying? Even in the very best of circumstances, there has been this turning of the back upon the Lord. The Savior himself had to write to seven churches in Asia. We read about that in the opening chapters of the book of Revelation. Churches that weren't very old. They weren't even as old as the Free Presbyterian Church today. And yet already within their ranks there was a turning away, a turning of the back, a going away from the Lord. In fact, the epistle, the first epistle that we read of those seven, that was addressed again to the church at Ephesus, the Savior said to that church, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because thou hast left thy first love." Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. Thou hast left thy first love. You've deserted. You've turned your back on your first love. You've turned your back on your first love. See the departure that was? Back in those wonderful days, those blessed days, those glorious days, there was a turning of the back upon the Lord. So it has happened in the best of circumstances. Now, boys and girls, let me speak to you about today, because the Bible tells us, God tells us in His Word, that a going away will happen in our day. It's happening today, a going away. Listen to these words. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly," that is the Holy Spirit, "speaketh very deliberately and very clearly that in the latter times," that is the times that will come at the end of the age, "some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Some will depart from the faith. That shows that they once had stood amongst those who believed. They were associated with the faith, the gospel. But now we are told that, and told very clearly by the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit wants you to recognize this. He says this expressly. There's going to be a turning away, departing from the faith, a leaving of the gospel, a turning of the back on the gospel. Like you had something in your hand and you set it down and you went away. Well, in the latter days, the Holy Spirit says, there will be a setting down of the gospel and a going away, a leaving of it. What's bringing this about? Well, we're told that there will be a giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That's what's going to persuade people to abandon the gospel. That is at work today. It's at work in Armagh today. And there is something of an overspill of the working of seducing spirits seen in the fact that there's not a major protest against that apostasy in Armagh today. When I first started out as a Christian, where such a service had been organized, there would have been thousands of Free Presbyterians there. Thousands. Protesting. Let the world know. We are against this. That's not the case today. Because not only is there a departure seen amongst those who proclaim falsehood, but something of an overspill, an influencing of good people by what is happening, is seen in that good people are not shouting out against it as they should. As they should. Young people, I want you to know that you're living in a day in which there will be a turning of the back upon the Lord Jesus in a fashion not seen before. To a degree, not seen before. Now, there have been many times in the history of man in which there has been a denial of God. In the times of the great empires, Babylon, Greece, Rome, there was idolatry and wickedness everywhere within those empires. But the people who were denying the Lord were people who knew nothing of God. They didn't know any better. But today, you see, the people who are turning their back on God are a people who once claimed, and even today still would claim, that they know God and what they're doing is according to God's truth. When in actual fact, it's the very opposite to God's truth. That's the difference. That's what makes today's apostasy and today's departing from the Lord so wicked, exceedingly wicked, because people are turning their back on light. They're turning their back on light. I'll conclude with consideration, a brief consideration, of the right answer to the question the Lord asked. The question was, will ye also go away? Well, old Peter, who himself later would be subject to backsliding, but nevertheless, on this occasion, he had the right end of the stick, as we say. He had a proper understanding of the truth. And he speaks up and answers the Lord's question. You see it there in the verses 68 and 69. Would you look at it, please? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Isn't that a lovely answer? You know, they always used to say that an Irishman answers a question by asking a question. I think it's taken from the fact that whenever an Irishman was asked by the policeman, what are you doing? He wouldn't answer and explain what he was doing, but he would say, why do you want to know? He would answer a question with a question. And that's what Peter does. Peter answers the Lord's question by asking a question, Lord, to whom shall we go? And by asking that question, he's setting up the very obvious answer to the question. Lord, we have nowhere else to go. How can we turn our back on thee? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We can't turn our back upon thee, Lord. For you have the secret of eternal life. If we turn our back on thee, we're turning our back on eternal life. We're turning our back on eternal life. Because we believe thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Here's a reason. The reason, the only reason, to remain faithful to the gospel. There's nowhere else to go. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he possesses the words of eternal life. Oh, that today, boys and girls, you would learn this, and oh, that today, Ulster, would learn it afresh. Well, may the Lord bless us, and may he take care of you all during the break, and as we gather together, again, soon, in the will of the Lord, we look to him to meet with us. Let's bow in prayer. We'll all pray. We ask thee, Lord, now, on this sad day, in many ways, and yet a happy day for the boys and the girls as they have a break and have a little holiday. Solemnize our hearts. Write thy truth upon them. Bless teachers as well, and refresh them, Lord, in the coming days. Oh, look down in mercy upon our land, acting so foolishly today. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.